So I'm glad everybody is here tonight. We don't get an opportunity to really gather together on Hoshana Rabbah unless it's typically Shabbat. Technically, it is Shabbat now, but we actually get a twofer, Shabbat tonight and tomorrow. And I believe there's also something that just sort of has been lost over time, even within the Jewish community, when it comes to not only Sukkot. Yes, we build a sukkah. I know we haven't built one this year. We build a sukkah basically trying to connect us with the land and with God. Some do it maybe out of tradition more than out of desire to follow Him. That's neither to say one way or the other right now. But the point is that there's so much that is significant to this appointed time of Sukkot. So much that has been infused into it, like all of God's Moedim. But this ultimately is a picture of the kingdom of God. I mean, this is the fulfillment of many things. And last Shabbat, on the first day of Sukkot, part of my message, I had talked to you about how we would rebuild our sukkah next year. However, this year was a year in preparing for the year to come, embracing this as a time that would be memorialized. On Shabbat, I had shared with you Amos 9:11. When that day comes, I will raise up the fallen sukkah of David. I will close up its gaps, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as it used to be. But I had alluded to that there was so much more to this promise that would occur sometime in the future. Here is what Adonai conveys through the prophet in what his rebuilding project will look like. It is not a demolition whereby everything is torn down to the foundation and rebuilt, but it is a rehabilitation project whereby you work with what's existing. That is the structure, and you restore it. Because God's already established the structure, keeping in mind there's been desolation of the structure. Hasn't been completely destroyed, but He said He would rebuild it. In Amos 9:12, it continues, so that Israel can possess what is left of Edom and of all the nations bearing my name, says Adonai, who is doing this. The days will come, says Adonai, when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the one treading grapes, the one sowing seed. Sweet wine will drip down the mountains and all the hills will flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. They will rebuild and inhabit the ruined cities. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine, cultivate gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their own soil, no more to be uprooted from their land, which I gave them, says Adonai. So until you got to verse 14, it sounded like, well, that already happened. Yet verse 15 conveys that they will never be uprooted again based on this rehabilitation program, this reclamation project. A promise that speaks of today, where the people are returning from the four corners of the earth to reside in the land, where Adonai says they will not be uprooted again. This says a great deal considering the nation's less than total devotion to Adonai, let alone the nation's acceptance of Yeshua. As I've shared with you on Yom Teruah and Rosh Hashanah, the impact of Yeshua's return would be the Jewish people receiving their king. We are currently in the rehabilitation stage of this restoration. So don't judge the work in progress, but wait until the work is complete and you will see the glorious restoration. We see this rehabilitation project truly commence with the appearance of Yeshua and in His own words conveying the intent of His mission. In Matthew 15:24, where He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So His project, we are His project. His project is extremely focused. Yes, the end results will be for the world, but right now what he's doing for the 3.5 years is solely for God's people chosen by him and created as a nation. Yet his impact would be felt worldwide and generation to generation. But it was important to raise up the fallen sukkah of David first. We see Yeshua challenge the people and the leadership in their understanding throughout his time with us. He raised people up and challenged accepted norms of understanding, all the while rehabilitating the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Which brings us to Hoshana Rabbah and Yeshua's appearance at the temple on the last great day of Sukkot. So let's take a deeper look at this rehabilitation of the fallen sukkah of David. There are various scriptures that convey something so dynamic about Messiah, yet so finite in who they could possibly be speaking of, that there is no other possibility outside of his identity being that of Yeshua. One such scripture is Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. The glory of the new house will surpass that of the old, says Adonai, and in this place I will grant shalom. Where the prophet is told by Adonai that the glory of the new house, the second temple, will surpass the glory of the old house, the first temple. Upon Solomon's completion of the construction of the first temple and its dedication, the glory of Adonai filled the first house. How do we know this? Scripture tells us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Adonai filled the house, so that the Kohanim could not enter the house of Adonai because the glory of Adonai filled Adonai's house. This makes sense. It's his house. He should be in there. All the people of Israel saw when the fire came down and the glory of Adonai was on the house. They bowed down with their faces to the ground on the flooring, prostrating themselves. They gave thanks to Adonai, for he is good, for his grace continues forever. Does this sound familiar? Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before Adonai. Solomon ultimately prayed over the temple, and God actually sanctified it. Evidence that the glory of Adonai did indeed appear and reside in the temple, further substantiating Haggai's prophecy. The presence of God, the glory of God, was in the temple, the first temple, Solomon's temple. We see here the sukkah of David is at its apex. The temple having been dedicated and the reign of Solomon bringing forth a period of peace for the nation. Yet this moment is important for connecting us to the time when the rehabilitation of the fallen sukkah of David will take place. Now the question, how will the glory of the new house surpass the glory of the first house? The glory of Adonai filled the temple. One might say that's significant. What could possibly surpass his presence? Matthew 12:41, the people of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they turned from their sins to God when Jonah preached. But what is here now is greater than Jonah. Hopefully many of you will remember this from my Yom Kippur message, talking about these times. Someone greater than one of Adonai's prophets is here among you. The same one who conveyed to the man born blind and ultimately healed by Yeshua in Yochanan 9, starting in verse 35. Yeshua heard that they had thrown the man out. He found him and said, "Do you trust in the Son of Man?" "Sir," he answered, "tell me who he is so that I can trust in him." Yeshua said to him, "You have seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you now." "Lord, I trust," he said, and he kneeled down in front of him. Yeshua said, "It is to judge that I came into the world, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blinded." Some of the Pharisees nearby heard this and said to him, "So we're blind too, are we?" Yeshua answered them, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But since you still say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Interesting. When did this occur? This little interaction occurred during Sukkot. But then, which day? There's seven of them. This day, this occurred on the last day, on Hoshana Rabbah. How do we know this? Because the account actually begins in Yochanan 7:37. "Now on the last day of the festival, Hoshana Rabbah, Yeshua stood and cried out." But unfortunately, much is lost in translation. Other translations will say, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink.'" Yet when we look at the Jewishness of this verse, it conveys so much more than is typically understood by those who read it and are unfamiliar with its origins, with its Jewishness. The words, "Please save us," coming from Psalm 118, led to the day being called Hoshana Rabbah, the Great Hoshana. This prayer had messianic overtones, as is seen from its use when Yeshua made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem a few days before his execution in Matthew 21:9. It was also a prayer for salvation from sin, for Hoshana Rabbah was understood to be the absolutely final chance to have one's sins for the year forgiven. On Rosh Hashanah, one asks to be inscribed in the Book of Life. That's the traditional aspect. We take a different approach. We say to not be blotted out. And on Yom Kippur, one hopes to have that inscription sealed. Yet we are sealed through Yeshua, so long as we do not turn away from Him. Yet in Jewish tradition, there remained opportunity for forgiveness up to Hoshana Rabbah. In addition, a connection between the possession of the Ruach HaKodesh and religious joy is found in the ceremony of water drawing, Simcha Beit HaShoeveh, the Feast of Water Drawing, done on the festival of Sukkot. The Mishnah said that he who had never seen the ceremony, which was accompanied by dancing, singing, and music, had never seen true joy. Yet this was also considered a ceremony in which the participants, as it were, drew inspiration from the Ruach HaKodesh itself, which can only be possessed by those whose hearts are full of religious joy. This is from the Jerusalem Talmud, Sukkot 5:1. So there's this dynamic where they're sort of getting it, but not in its fullness. Yet Yeshua's interaction with this man was one of several significant moments on the last day of Sukkot. The last great day of this Sukkot Yeshua attended started off as follows. I told you that it's identified in chapter 7, verse 37 of Yochanan, that it was the last day of the festival, and he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come, keep coming to me and drinking," with the idea of the water libation ceremony in the backdrop, so to speak. "Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from the inmost being." Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who trusted in him were to receive later. You see, there's a fine line that separates the tradition from what Yeshua was saying. I've used the analogy before of the kid pressed up against the glass of a candy store with the candy on the other side of the glass. They're so close. They could probably even taste it, but they can't grab it. That's how close they are. Why is this so significant? On the last day of the festival, Hoshana Rabbah, literally on the last great day, the seventh and last day of Sukkot was its climax. Throughout the 7 days of the festival, a special Kohen had carried water in a gold pitcher from the pool of Shiloach, to be poured into a basin at the foot of the altar by the Kohen HaGadol. It symbolized prayer for rain, which begins the next day on Shemini Atzeret. And it also pointed toward the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh upon the Jewish people. The rabbis associated this custom with Isaiah 12:3. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. And on the seventh day, the water pouring was accompanied by Kohanim blowing golden trumpets, Levim singing sacred songs, and ordinary people waving lulavs and chanting the Hallel, which includes in its closing verses, Adonai, please save us. Adonai, please prosper us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai. We have blessed you out of the house of Adonai. God is Adonai, and he has given us light. This is Psalm 118, verses 25 through 27. Yeshua is in essence stating, this water that is poured out for you during the time of the Kohen is not the same water that comes from me, the living water. Here Yeshua is drawing a connection to the tradition, yet amplifying its meaning beyond the physical understanding. Another moment occurring on the last great day, and in relation to the prayer of Psalm 118, Yeshua spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives life. He has given us light, his light. The light that existed before the sun was created in Genesis 1:3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light that will exist after the sun is gone. Revelation 21:23. The city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's Shekhinah gives light, and its lamp is the Lamb. According to the Mishnah at the temple, there were four golden menorahs with four golden bowls at the top of each, and four ladders, each leading to a bowl. Four strong young Kohanim would climb up with pitchers, each holding 9 liters of oil, which they would pour into the bowls. From the worn-out drawers and girdles of the Kohanim, they made wicks, and with them they lit the menorahs. And there was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that was not lit up by the light of the Beit HaShavah, the festivities. Pious men and men of good deeds would dance around the menorahs with lit torches in their hands, singing songs and praises, while the Levites played harps, lyres, cymbals, trumpets, and other musical instruments. This is Sukkah 5:2 through 4 in the Talmud. The Gemara, the commentary part on this passage, says the menorahs were 75 feet high. Thus, the water-drawing festival was accompanied by bright lights and dancing, for Sukkot is specifically a festival of rejoicing. As before, when the water from Shiloach was being poured and Yeshua used the occasion to invite people to come to him and drink, now he uses the fact that the feast or the Moed is accompanied by a blaze of light to announce, I am the light of the world, adding a promise with implications for both life and eternity. Two of Yeshua's most significant teachings, the light of the world and living water, were conveyed on the same day, Hoshana Rabbah. So let's go back to Solomon for a moment. When did Solomon's dedication occur? We read in 2 Chronicles 7:8, so Solomon celebrated the festival at the time for 7 days, together with all Israel, an enormous gathering, from the entrance of Hamat of the Vadi. And then it says, on the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly, having observed the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival for 7 days. So what can we learn from this? That the glory of Adonai appeared on the first day of Sukkot after the dedication of the temple, in that they celebrated Sukkot in its fullness for 7 days. Previously, I conveyed to you that Yeshua's presence in the temple was on the last day of Sukkot. Adonai's glory appeared on the first day of Sukkot. Yeshua's presence resided at the temple on the last day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah. Let's go back to the prophet Haggai again. Let me reread this for you. The glory of the new house will surpass that of the old, says Adonai, and in this place I will grant shalom. There is no other documented evidence in the historical Jewish writings prior to the temple's destruction in 70 of the Common Era that conveys any significant event that would validate Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, had been fulfilled. Yet we have evidence that the glory of Adonai was present in the first temple. Yet there is nothing further that conveys the greater glory being present in the second temple, as documented. So the problem, if there is not an account of such a moment, then there is an enormous problem. This promise made by Adonai can never be realized. If this never happened before the destruction of the second temple, then God is a liar. There is no second house anymore. The new house in relation to the first house, Solomon's temple, the second house doesn't exist anymore. But wait. We do have something that validates a greater glory. It was experienced in the second house. Yochanan's account, his witness, his testimony, not to mention all the people who witnessed these events happen. In a past sermon, I conveyed Yeshua's immersion occurring on Tisha B'Av, 40 years prior to the exact day of the temple's destruction. God is about precision. He doesn't have rounding errors. What if I were to tell you that Yeshua's time in the temple on Hoshana Rabbah is also recognized by the prophet Haggai as well? Remember the verse, it was chapter 2, verse 9. Yet we need to go back to verse 1 of chapter 2. On the 21st day of the 7th month, this word of Adonai came through Haggai the prophet. What is the 21st day of the 7th month but the last day of Sukkot? It starts on the 15th. You count 7 days, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 7th, the 7th day. This is Hoshana Rabbah. This very prophecy given to Haggai was given on the last day of Sukkot, where Yeshua fulfilled this promise to the day. Haggai goes on to say in verse 2, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the Kohen HaGadol, and to the rest of the people. Say this to them, who among you is left that saw this house in its former glory? Speaking of the temple. And how does it look to you now? It seems like nothing to you, doesn't it? Nevertheless, Zerubbabel, take courage now, says Adonai, and take courage, Joshua, the son of Yotzadak, the Kohen HaGadol, and take courage, all the people of the land, says Adonai, and get to work, for I am with you. This is in keeping with the word that I promised in a covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains with you, so don't be afraid. For this is what Adonai says, it won't be long before one more time I will shake the heavens and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all nations will flow in, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says Adonai. And then we come to verse 9, where I believe Yochanan in chapter 7, verse 37, specifically references Hoshana Rabbah in order to connect Haggai's prophecy, thus validating Adonai's promise that the glory of the new house will surpass that of the old. The very day this prophecy is given to Haggai on the 21st day of the seventh month, Hoshana Rabbah, Yeshua conveys his most powerful messages, thus providing the people shalom with peace on Hoshana Rabbah. It is on this day that the glory of the second house exceeded that of the first. In validating Adonai's promise, we are able to further substantiate Yeshua is the one who is to rebuild the fallen sukkah of David. Remember, who among you is left that saw this house in its former glory, from Haggai. Yeshua is rehabilitating, refurbishing, restoring, and ultimately rebuilding the fallen sukkah of David, and continues to do so to this day. It is still a work in progress, but we can see the results now, even though he is not done yet. We see the people in the land, thus conveying another phase. We see Jewish people coming and accepting Yeshua as king and Messiah, another phase. There has been great progress, yet there still remains much to do to the fallen sukkah of David. Ultimately, all will be restored to the nation, the people upon his return, for they will see the sign of the Son of Man who will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming. This is when they will recognize their king, see their king, embrace their king. But keeping in mind, he's been preparing and repairing the fallen sukkah of David for over 2,000 years. The work is nearly done, yet there's still much to do. Mind you, of the harvest, there's a great harvest, yet the workers are few. So there's still much for us to do. We are to convey his light. We are to embrace the living water. We are to be his witness, and we are to, in essence, emanate his light. Let your light shine. And this will take us into Hanukkah, when we will talk about light then again too. So everything fits together. It's a nice narrative that he created, because when your eyes are open and he's given you a mind and a heart to understand, it's not that complicated. It makes sense. So if everybody will please rise.